Test.
Hi guys. Happy Wednesday. Hey, it's good to be here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Better is one day in the house of the Lord than a thousand where? Anywhere. Elsewhere. Doesn't matter where. You're here right now, and man, you're going to be blessed.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to introduce to you my friend Todd Scoggins. Todd is a Kokomo guy that lives in Brownsburg now. He is I don't know what that meant.
I don't know. Good night.
Todd is an architect by trade, has his own architecture company. He's also a media film producer, director, makes documentaries. He's a missionary. He's a philanthropist. The guy is amazing what he has done. And what he is doing. We are going to be blessed to hear his story because it's not about what he does, it's about what God does through him.
Amen.
It is about what God does when we surrender to him. And so what you're going to hear today, when you leave, you are going to be encouraged and inspired to surrender. Surrender to God and watch what crazy, radical things will happen in your life. And Todd is evidence of that very thing. And so we're grateful for him to be here. We're grateful for you to be here. I'm going to pray in just a second. But before I do, we have got to give it up for the food team. Thank you, ladies. Who can tell me why we do lunch every week?
Make it easy to get here.
That's it. Make it easy to get here and make it easy to bring a friend. This is too good. This stuff is too good to keep it to yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Todd. Thank you for Huddle, what you're doing in Huddle and through Huddle. Thank you for what you're doing in Todd and through Todd. I pray, God, that the message that he brings today, Lord, we'll see and recognize that it's straight from heaven. Lord, the things that you are doing in his life is amazing. The impact that he's making, the connections that he's made, it's incredible, God. And so, Father, I pray that every one of us would listen to you and obey the way that Todd does, that we would be a man after your own heart. So thank you, Lord. We commit this time to you in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
That's incredible. What a fun introduction. Thank you. I hope I can live up to that. To be honest, I'm a real fan of this gathering. I've had the pleasure of jumping in and being a part of this from time to time, and I think this is an amazing thing. And you're amazing men, and I hear the conversations that happen at the tables when I'm able to attend. So I'm deeply honored to have an opportunity to stand in this spot for a minute and share some of my stories to anybody who cares to listen. So just jump right in. I hope that some of you far over there can see this, but this is a photograph that I took in the desert of Egypt. This is in 2018. What you're looking at here is midnight prayer. There are about 100 Egyptian Christian men, most of them in Cairo. In the middle of the night, we took these men out into the desert for 3 days of very intense discipleship and deep exploration into the Word of God and into our own journey as believers. This is a men's organization. I've had the pleasure of doing this in Kentucky and California and Oklahoma and Mexico, and this is the first time we did this here in Egypt, in the Middle East, and it was amazing. I'm going to come back to this because how I found myself standing in the middle of the desert at midnight with a camera taking this photograph is nothing short of God-inspired. It couldn't have been anything I did, and it's been a blessing. And so my journey has been a lot of fun. So born here in Kokomo. Kokomo graduated in 1988, was in the band, went to Ball State, had an opportunity to travel with Up the People, if anybody remembers Up the People, they're still around. So yeah. So I did Up the People for a year, went all around Europe, with about 250 host families. I've got a list of host families all over Europe and the United States that we lived with for a couple nights as we did our road show. It's kind of like being in the circus. You're just one city after the other, after the other, after the other. Went to Ball State, married my junior high sweetheart. Quick backstory. I met my wife, Heather, in the sixth grade here in Kokomo at Maple Crest. She did not realize she was my junior high sweetheart until 5 years after we graduated high school. I thought she was groovy the whole time. She didn't even notice me until after high school. Okay, maybe she noticed me, but she certainly didn't go out with me until after high school. She's the love of my life. And she's also a Kokomo girl. Married her, moved down to Indianapolis, where I started my career in architecture and just an intern architect at a firm down in Indianapolis. And I was just, run-of-the-mill every Sunday morning, take my family, go to church, God, right? And one day, the associate pastor, who's now since become a great friend of mine, his name is Dave Powell, he approached me and he said, "Hey, Todd, you ought to go on a mission trip with us to Kentucky." I said, "Mission trip? Me? I mean, mission trip? For super Christians? You want mission trips, right?" He said, "No." He said, "You're an architect, right?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, we go down there and we patch roofs and we repair floors and that kind of thing. You know how to do that, right?" I said, "Yeah, okay, I can do that. Sure." So, come on, jump in with us. So I did. And it was amazing. That week was an amazing experience. How many have had an opportunity to do mission trips? Short term, long term, yeah. And if you haven't yet, the opportunities are still there. So look for those. It's an amazing opportunity. And it was more, I grew more as a Christian. I got more out of it than the people we were serving, interestingly. And I think most people who were on these short term missions would agree. I fell in love with the people in that part of the country, deep in those mountains of Appalachia. And what amazed me was how joyful they were, how economically poor they were, but how spiritually rich they were. And it was a paradigm shift in my head. Couldn't make sense of that. And so I wanted to know more. So I went back the next year. And then the next year I went back and took my daughter with me that year. She was 11 years old. And I thought, let's capture video of this while we go. I had never done anything professionally in media. I just kind of always thought it'd be kind of fun to do something like that. So we captured video of her week down there. And when I put this little 20-minute video together, I looked at that and I realized, there's a story here. As I looked at the interaction through the camera, my daughter and the family that we worked with, I realized there's a story here. Now, this mission site, Redbird Mission, has been there for, now they have been there for 100 years. They have a school, they have a clinic, they do food programs, they do elderly programs, they do home programs. It's very comprehensive. Quite a story. But like any mission, like any ministry, they need funding. And I realized, I could do something, I think I could do something to help. So I wanted to do a documentary about this mission site. So I reached out to the directors of the mission sites. I want to do a documentary about what you do here. But they were very hesitant because the policy has always been, and I understand this, we don't want you taking pictures of the people you're working with. We don't want to exploit them. And I respect that. But I said, but here's what I would like to share. I want to show the humanity and their strength and the resilience that they have, the joy that they have in their faith. That's what I want to capture. I don't want to focus on the economic poverty. I want to focus on the strength of their spiritual journey with the Lord in spite of their economic challenges. And I said, I fell in love with the people here in these hills. And I really think that if we can capture them, put them in this medium, and share it with the rest of the world, the funding will come. Well, they were convinced, and so they gave me the opportunity. So I moved down there for 2 weeks. I lived there, and they arranged for me to meet with several of the families and to get their stories. I put the documentary together and released it. And lo and behold, it made it into film festivals from Florida to New York State to California to Kentucky. It was incredible. It was nothing less than spirit-led. I couldn't have done this. I'm not that good. I don't even know how to make a documentary. But it was the people in it. It was not my brilliant filmmaking then, I can promise you that. It was the people in the documentary that was so wonderful and compelling, which is why it grew legs and actually found an audience. Kentucky Public Television picked it up, and they asked if they could run it, and so they did. And Kentucky Public Television ran my little first documentary. It's an hour and 15 minutes long. Ran that documentary on Kentucky Public Television for 10 years straight. It ran about two times a month, about every other month, for 10 years. And that was incredible. And what was so much fun for me was that from time to time I would get an email from the development director at the mission saying, Todd, I think your documentary ran again this week because we've had a spike in phone calls or inquiries or donations. So that's exactly why I wanted to do that. That's exactly why I want to do that. And so we had a screening of the documentary at the mission site for the people who work there. And these are people who've been working there for many, many, many years. They know every aspect of this ministry. We watched this documentary, and it's quite emotional. At the end, one of the ladies gets baptized, and it's really a beautiful moment. So when the documentary ends, and it's quiet, and a few people are kind of crying, including myself, it's still emotional for me to watch. The director's wife, who's been there for 30 years, she says, wow, I want to work there. Right? She saw herself and the work that she and her colleagues do in a different way for this documentary. That was a wonderful thing for me to see. I was able to show her how I see her, and by extension, how the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit sees the work that they do. And that was just a wonderful thing. And I was hooked. From there, I said, okay, I got to do this more often. I have got to do this more. So that began my journey. And since then, I've had the opportunity to go literally all over the world. I've been to 33 countries. I've got to change that. I've been to now 33 countries, most of them with my camera. We've won some like 37 Telly Awards for our work. A Telly Award, by the way, if you haven't heard of a Telly Award, it's just like an Oscar, except nobody's ever heard of it, and if you win, you have to buy your own trophy. But we've won a few of those.
And I have a Telly Award story that we'll get into.
So, what have I had an opportunity to see? And I'm going to watch my time here. Oh, good, there's a time up there. Till 12:23, right? Is that the time we've got? Is that right? Okay, that's got it here on my... So I'll make sure I keep an eye on that for you. Had up to go to Vietnam and with a wheelchair ministry, which was amazing. I couldn't believe I found myself in Vietnam. And this lady right here is with the police. Her job was to make sure that we did not share the gospel. Don't talk about Jesus. You can give out your little wheelchairs here in Vietnam, but don't evangelize. Okay? That was her job. So I sneaked this picture of her, pretending like I was taking a picture of the little boy there. I was really focused on her. Because I just kind of wanted to keep an eye on her demeanor. And so she, with a watchful eye, kept an eye on us. And then she got a little bit closer and was curious about what we were doing. And closer still. And then she starts helping put these wheelchairs together. And now her spirit starts to come out. You see the smile on her face. Now she's interacting. There's a language barrier. She really doesn't speak the same. She doesn't speak English. We don't speak Vietnamese. But now she is... Oh, excuse me, I skipped it. Pardon me. I'm going to go back. Now she's putting together her own wheelchairs, right? She's supposed to make sure that we're not talking about Jesus, but now she's putting together wheelchairs to help us in our ministry. And at the very end there she is right there wearing the hat of the ministry that has the little cross and the logo, right? So that was a wonderful moment. I've had a chance to go to El Salvador many, many times, and people are the same everywhere I go. When I took this picture of this sweet lady here, again, I don't speak Spanish, she doesn't speak English, so I'll turn the camera on sometimes just to say, here's the picture I just took. And when she saw the picture that I just took of her, what was her reaction? Oh my, my hair. And what's beautiful about that is that people are the same everywhere we go. Even though there's a language barrier, or economic differences, or cultural differences, we all want safety for our children. We want opportunity for our families. We don't want violence with our neighbors or other countries. We just want the basics in life, and that's really universal everywhere that we go. Let's say right here, Maria was a wonderful lady. She prayed for me when I visited her nursing home. She didn't know me from Adam, but she prayed for me for 15 minutes, friend watched, and she's speaking Spanish the whole time. I couldn't understand a word that she was saying, but she's praying over me and praying over me, and my friend Lisa Lott, she speaks Spanish. She whispers in my ear. She says, she's praying for you. And she's praying for your family. And she had to tear me away to get me on the bus so that we could leave. And when she finally pulled me away from Maria, all I could do was step into a corner and just weep for a few minutes. Because the power of that feeling of her praying over me the way that she did was so impactful. And I learned again something there.
Amen. That's my God.
That's right. That is exactly right. I've had a chance to travel with Nick Vujicic. He has Born with No Arms and No Legs, a wonderful evangelist. And prison ministry is something in particular that he is very keen on. And I've been inside, this is inside Telford Maximum Security Prison in Texas. One of my favorite photos, that's a Bible there that he's laying on. That's his wedding ring. He doesn't have a finger to put it on, so he hangs it around the chain on his neck. And to Israel, wonderful country. So heartbroken about what's happening in that country. I recently had a chance to sit down with family members who currently have loved ones who are being held hostage. This lady right here is talking about her cousins. That's her cousin right there, the Bibas family. That man and his wife and their two baby children were taken hostage, and they are still currently unaccounted for. The Shirabi brothers, one of them is no longer alive. The other, they hope, is still alive. Sitting with these family members and listening to their stories was truly heartbreaking. And so I encourage us to pray for this country, pray for the Middle East, pray for peace, pray for those hostages to be returned home. This is the Israel that I know. It's a very peaceful nation. This is right at the base of the Temple Mount. Got this picture here. I just like to call this one not the Last Supper, just lunch. But I'm walking through the streets of Old Jerusalem, and I just happen to turn around, and these three young ladies are walking right towards me. So I pick my camera up, and I click this picture, and it is what you think it is. Two Muslim girls and a Christian girl, probably on their way home from school. They're just friends. They're probably just going home to hang out together. That's what is like. That's what life is like inside Israel. Christian, Muslim, Jewish, they live together peacefully in that country, despite what a lot of people try to have us believe. I had a chance to go to India. The children there are beautiful. This is for an organization called Save the Girl, because little girls are not educated in India. They're often very much just like a class citizen in India, so that organization provides education for children, for girls in India. In Nepal, I met these three men. And what did I say about things being universal? When you got to check the Facebook, even though you're sitting on top of the elephant, watching over your crops, you still need to be able to, you know, get online and just see what your social media feed is looking like. So, look at these shamans. And I saw these three guys, and I saw the three of them sitting there, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, again, language barrier, right? So I can't talk to them, but I looked at the three of them, I said, well, anyway, I said, okay, you, right, like this, you, okay, all right? And did they play along? Oh, laugh it all away. They're like, oh, you know this one for sure. And I looked it up, and of course, the three wise monkeys originated in that part of the country about 600 years ago, so of course they knew that. So, again, it was universal. Had a chance to take a flight and get a picture of Mount Everest. That's it there in the background, the tallest one, of course. And then I had a chance to work with Mike Pence on his campaign for governor. Started here in Kokomo. Craig Dunn, if you know Craig Dunn, invited me to put together a piece to help promote Mike Pence, and he was speaking at a Lincoln Day dinner here. And that started off a great experience and a great friendship. And I was never his official photographer. I say I was his photographer of choice. I was never on staff with the governor's office, but he was the one that he would ask for. And when he was on the campaign for vice president, he invited me to travel along with him just briefly, and it was an amazing experience to see some of the behind the scenes of a presidential campaign. Secret Service just stretching, making sure they're ready to jump if necessary, making sure I don't make any sudden moves. I had a chance to fly on the plane with Vice President Pence, then Candidate Pence, to see inside, what does it look like inside a presidential campaign. He's a great man of faith, strong man of faith. I don't know if you knew this or not, but he held a Bible study inside the White House complex in his office, in the Vice President's office, every Wednesday at noon, as long as he was Vice President. I had the great honor of attending that many times. He was rarely there, but it was just amazing to be in the White House, in the building where the most powerful men and women in the world make decisions that impact all of us, and to open and learn the Word of God and to honor God inside that building was amazing. I don't think that's going on and continuing today. In the honor flight there at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that's a great ministry as well. It's not a ministry, but honoring those who have served us And many of you in this country, I know, or in this room, have served our country. Which takes me back to that photograph, and I will leave you with this, that started in Egypt. So the deal was, this was the first time that this ministry was going to be taking men into the desert of Egypt. And it was quite a big deal, because not real friendly to the Christian faith there in Egypt. And I had a Zoom call with, well, it wasn't Zoom then, but it was still, it was a video conference call, with a man named Mishu. He's the Christian leader of his church, and he was the one that wanted to do this. And so we're going there to support him and his men in their walk of faith. Beautiful area. And I had three, that's me and two of my team with me. I had three young men who are great shooters. That's Will. No, excuse me, that's Stephen. That is Eric, and that's Will there. Three great young men shooters that volunteered to go with me on this adventure to capture this ministry in action. And telling you about the, harking back to the Telly Award thing, I was going to tell you the story. It relates. I had done a documentary on Dan Coates. He's our Director of National Security, National Intelligence, Director of National Intelligence at the time. So I did this documentary on Dan Coates. I submitted it for a Telly Award. It won a Telly Award, so I reached out to his office and I asked him, could I come and I'd like to be able to present this award to the director. Is that okay? And so they agreed for me to do that. So I traveled to Washington, D.C., and they arranged for me to meet him at his office. Security was very high, as you can imagine. We're not allowed to bring your cell phone even into the building. You had to leave it in the car. So into the building we went, into his office, presented with the award, got the photograph, and then sat down with Mr. Coates, Director of National Intelligence, and was able just to chat for a while. He said, so what's going on? And in that conversation, I said, well, we're getting ready to go to Egypt next month with the men's ministry. He says, really? And so I told him what it was about. We're taking 100 Christian men into the desert, just 2 hours south of Cairo. And he says, well, I'm about to give you a yellow light on that one. I said, okay, I'm sure. He said, well, we've got some activity. And I can't say much, but he says, they're not very friendly to Christian faith there. He said, I gotta give you a yellow light. Not a red light, but I certainly can't give you a green light on that. I said, well, I understand. Knowing that he was a Wheaton grad, Wheaton College, knowing what their mantra is, I quoted his mantra back to him. I said, well, you know, for Christ and his kingdom, right, sir? And he says, well, that's right. But Christ also gives us a brain. I hear you, okay. He said, I'll tell you what, why don't you reach out? I said, you're going next month? I said, yeah. He said, why don't you reach out to my chief of staff here, Mr. Mirani, about a week before you go, and we'll see what the landscape looks like, and we'll give you an opinion. I said, that would be fantastic. I would love that. So I did that. So I sent an email to Mr. Mirani with coordinates of where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing, when we're going to be there. And the phone rings about 2 days later, and it was Mr. Mirani. He said, Todd, I said, yeah, we've looked at this here in our Middle East office, and also we've talked with our embassy in Cairo, and our recommendation is that you should not do this. It's not safe. You shouldn't do this. Now, this is not a hero story at all. And I asked if any of you served, and I know that many of you here in this room have served, so I am not going to try and pretend like what we did here is anything close to the type of service the men in this room have given to our country. That's not what I want to share. What I'm telling you is this is a journey of faith for me that I experienced. As he said, this is dangerous. You shouldn't do this. And so I listened to him explain. He said, there's been activity in the desert in that area. Well, I can't give you any more details. We've looked at where you're going to be. He said, you've done the right thing by not posting this on social media. You're going to shut down your accounts. You're not going to be doing anything publicly. That's good. But still, it's dangerous. So I said, okay, thank you. So I hung up the phone, and I'm not going to kid you. I was scared, frankly. I was scared because I thought, what have I gotten myself into here? And not only that, but I had those three young men who agreed to go with me, right? Wow. Agreed to go with me. I want to make sure that I wasn't dragging them into something that was going to be unsmart. And so I lost some sleep for a few days. And then I got to thinking, and I realized, okay. I told my wife, I said, here's what I'm going to do. I can't make my decision about whether this is right or not from 6,000 miles away or however it is from here to Cairo. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this one step at a time. I'm going to get on the plane here in Indianapolis. I'm going to fly to Cairo. I'm going to get off the plane. I'm going to pray. I'm going to see how I feel. I want to meet Mishu, the gentleman who lives in Cairo, who takes his family to church through a barbed wire fence and protected by men with
guns outside of his church every Sunday. He lives that life every day. And I'm thinking, can I live that life for 1 week? Surely. And I'm going to look at him and I'm going to go, why are you okay with this? And I'm going to get on the bus and we're going to drive 2 hours south to the point where we're going to take the men into the desert. When I get on the bus, I'm going to pray about it and see how I feel then. And if at any time the Spirit tells me that we need to stop and abort, I'll do that. I'm going to take this one step at a time. And at that moment, when I made that decision to do it that way, all the fear melted away. And I realized, okay, I was not afraid of going. I was afraid of not going. I was afraid of being disobedient to what I knew was a call that I had to answer. This was necessary. We needed to be there for those other men, those Christian brothers of ours who live in Cairo. Right? We need to be there for them. And I also realized I had never risked anything for my faith. Like so many people around the world who risk so much for their faith. I had never done that. And again, I want you to understand this is not a hero story. This was my journey of faith as I realized this was my moment to really ask myself, what do I believe? And what am I willing to live for and die for? And so we went and we did it. And it was amazing. And if it will play, tell me there's sound. It is.
Husbands and sons and fathers.
As Rabbi, man, Rabbi.
All of us, just ordinary men who have made a radical decision to take part in the very first extreme character challenge. And I believe that for some men here tonight, that you're going to find new life in the desert. This desert is going to be transformed into a place of adventure. And in these next 72 hours...
I know it's hard for you to hear in the back anyway, so I'll just narrate as we go along. It was a wonderful experience. 4 nights with these men in the desert of Egypt, and really getting close to the Lord that way. And there was a moment when I experienced we studied this in architecture school. It's called the profane, the sacred. The sacred and the profane. Profane is void of anything. It's a bare landscape. There's nothing there. No trees, no buildings, nothing. It's totally bare. And then when you start to build a building, then that's where you begin to create something sacred. I reached a plateau when we were out here in this desert. It was up so high and it was up so flat that I could see nothing. I literally saw nothing. No trees, nothing. No hills anywhere. It was completely flat. And I heard nothing. There were no planes flying overhead, no bugs buzzing. There wasn't even any trees for the wind to blow through. It was void of anything. I was the only thing that existed in that landscape. And it was the sacred and the profane. And it was a really fascinating deep dive into where we are in the world. And it was an amazing adventure. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. So I'm going to leave you with this, because my time is up, and I am so grateful for your time.
Is that I resisted that call to the Lord. I didn't want to give my life to the Lord. I'd heard that. I was a believer. I believed in the Lord. I believed in Jesus. Yeah, I'm a Christian, right? But then I hear that expression, give your life to the Lord. Live for the Lord. And there was something inside of me for many years, and still exists a little bit today, I fight it every day, that says, I know, but there's things I want to do with my life, right? But I reached a point years ago when I literally fell to my knees, and I said, Lord, I give it all to you. Whatever your call is, whatever you want me to do, you can take my career, my job, my house, I live it, I live for you. And since then, my life has become an adventure. Beyond anything I could have ever orchestrated for myself. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. I'm not. The Lord has chosen fit to use me in a really unique way. And I'm so thankful for that. And my message is that it won't always look that way for everybody. It won't become a life of adventure, but it will have a life of meaning. Our mission field is everywhere around us. It's right in front of you. It's in our neighborhoods. It's our neighbors. It's the people that we work with and our families. I've seen missionaries for the first time out in the mission field come out to the fields with such excitement. And then they realize after a few days that the need that they're dealing with in this village, wherever it might be, that need goes on endlessly in every direction, all over the world.
And there's suddenly a desperation I can see set in sometimes in their hearts where they feel like, how can I make a difference? How can I make a difference in the world? There's this need, it goes on endlessly in every direction. How can I even make a difference? Right?
Right.
And I would never pretend to know what the Spirit is saying. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. But if I could maybe imagine what the Spirit said to me, the answer to that question is this. Look, Tom, I put you here to deal with this little girl that's right in front of you. That's it. You change her world, and you have changed the world for her. And tomorrow I'll give you two more. And the next day I'll give you three or four more. And by the way, the need that goes on every day, I'm going to send more people for those folks, but I just need you to deal with what I've put right in front of you.
Amen.
Or the neighbor next door that's not saved, like the neighbor that I have, that I know he is not saved. The people that we work with. Imagine what it's going to be like when you get to heaven. And that amazing reunion we're going to have with so many families and friends.
Amen.
And you're going to get a tap on that shoulder. And turn around, it's going to be that one person you worked with. And he's going to say, I'm here because you shared the message with me.
Amen.
That's why I'm here. And that can be our mission field. That is our mission field. And there can be no more powerful mission field than that. The people that are right in front of us, right around us, that's our field. So I hope this has given me something to work with. Life is an adventure, and God is amazing, and He will do amazing things through you, with you, for you, all to God's glory. So,
amen.
Thank you for your time.
We don't normally do this, but the stories that you just shared probably raise some questions. Somebody might have some interest in something that he's done or had an opportunity to participate in. So let's open up the floor for any questions that you have for Todd.
Is that South Vietnam?
We were in, yeah, actually it wasn't South Vietnam. We toured all of Vietnam. But where I was with the Wheelchair Ministry, yeah, that was in Ho Chi Minh City, near Ho Chi Minh City, yeah. What's my favorite culture or country, but it just seems like whenever I come home from some place, that was my favorite. I love that one until I get to the next one, and then that becomes my new favorite. So I just love it everywhere we go.
There's one.
Oh, sorry.
Everybody that you've met, what was the wisest thing you've ever heard said?
Oh, what's the wisest thing I've ever said? Probably at the beginning, when I was at the Red River Mission, my friend Dave Powell. When I was there, we're working to help repair this man's floor, and he has big flat screen plasma TV at the time, plasma TV, very expensive television, a few other things in the house, cost a lot of money, and kind of got to me a little bit. I said, yeah, he can afford that, but he can't afford, you know. And my friend Dave said, I know what you're wrestling with now. I said, you're wrestling with the question of deserve, right? Does he deserve your help?
I said, yeah, I guess that's what I'm wrestling with. And he said, let me ask you this. Do you deserve the grace that you've been given? I said, all right, okay, I get it. That's probably the wisest thing I've ever heard. That was some good advice. Do I deserve the grace that I've been given from the Lord?
No.
So does everybody deserve every bit that we're going to give to them? Maybe not. Set that aside.
Just do it anyway. Just do it anyway. Show the grace. Do it anyway. Let the Lord sort it out. Sir.
Did you ever visit Henderson Settlement?
No, heard a lot about it, though. Yeah, a lot of friends go over to Henderson, which is a little bit west of the Redbird. Great, another great ministry. Yeah. Sir.
You ever thought about Chicago or New York?
Chicago and New York? Yeah. Big mission fields there. What about Chicago or New York in particular?
Well, those major market cities like those are violent.
Oh, I know.
City violence, documented. A person like yourself look at that kind of company that you look into.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian man, if you are outraged that you could be there.
Yeah. There's so much.
There are people there that look like me. I didn't see any of those people up there.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't capture those in photographs here, but I
love. You said you had 37 awards that you won.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you haven't looked into that.
Yeah.
That was my question. Had you been to any of those places?
No, I haven't been to Chicago. I haven't done any work in Chicago or New York. I haven't been invited to do it. I usually go where I'm invited. Someone will ask me if I can just go and help tell their story. So I just try to go where the Lord leads me. The different ministries, children's ministries, family ministries, domestic violence, food programs, housing programs, you know, the whole array of programs. There's so much need. But yeah, in the inner cities, the big cities, that one's a challenge for me. I'm not sure. It's so daunting. I don't know where to start. You know, I go into Chicago, for example, and I don't even know anybody there. So I wouldn't even know where to start.
You knew people in Cairo?
Sorry?
You knew people in Cairo, in Vietnam?
No, they reached out to me. Yeah, these are friends that, through friends of friends that reached out to me and said, hey, we got a need, so we can plug you in here. And so that's usually how I work. Someone calls and they've got a need. And the deal that I make is if this is for the ministry in some way, I'll volunteer my time if you can just cover my travel expenses and just give me a fistful of protein bars and a bottle of water. I'm usually pretty happy. That's about all I ask for.
God is in Chicago.
Yeah, he is. We need to be there. Yes, we do. Sir.
Someone said to me one time that some of the greatest inventions are either accidental, coincidental, or intentional.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that embarking on certain missions where someone calls you and a great story happens is amazing.
Yeah.
How do you get off the floor when it comes down to, hey, this is what I want to do? I know the first thing is this.
Yeah.
I have an internet radio station that I run out the back of my barbershop. That's gospel on me.
Yeah.
And we broadcast right now all across the world.
Yeah.
But I'm at loss with the technology. And I heard what you said when I first came in. It's like, this is not what I intended. But in the process, we get to win awards and all that type of stuff. And apparently your work was... How do you get off the ground floor knowing that this is my mission?
Yeah.
And do you just jump in?
Just jump in. And start with prayer. And, you know, find something manageable. And that's what I did. My little documentary that I did down in Kentucky, it was just something I wanted to do. It was just something manageable. So I did one thing and I did it well. And I believed in it. And people believed in me in that process. And so I just did one thing, I did it well, and then I did that one thing again, and I just did it a little bit better. And with patience, then I started figuring out where I plug in best. What is my skill set? There's things that I'm not good at in the media realm. For me, I think it's the editing and the interviewing people. I love that part. Talking to someone, getting a strong camera, editing
all the technical lighting, sound, and all that, I can still struggle with that. So I find what I do, and I just do it. I do it well. And so start with what you can do. Do it well. You know, and have faith in that. And then and don't be afraid to celebrate when it happens and it goes well. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be prideful. Don't be prideful about it. But there's nothing wrong with when you get something right and it works well and it honors God, stepping back and looking at that and saying, that was good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. Thank you for working through me and helping me do something here that has some value. Thank you for that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as we give the glory to God. And we walk, as long as we're walking with the Lord. Like the Lord says, you know, follow me. Jesus says, follow me. How many times in my life, and I love this, I've heard this, how many times in my life have I gotten so excited about, you know, I'm following the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord out on the mission field. I get everything together, and I get a plan together, and I put a plan together, and I take off to go, you know, challenge and, you know, serve the Lord in the mission field. And at some point, I stop, and I turn around, and there's Jesus behind me, smiling, saying, I said, follow me. So I have to step back. Start from the beginning. Sir.
Actually, that was just answered because I was getting ready to say, how does this challenge you? And that's that saying that faith is a subject of things hoped for and evidence of not seen.
Okay.
So I think I just answered it.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah.
Of seeing that.
Yeah.
Because it's evidence.
As you leave today, I guess I'd like to ask you this. Think of somebody in your life that you know needs the gospel. I'll put that challenge to you. We all have people that we know. Think about that person. Who's the Lord putting on your heart that you know needs to hear that gospel? And then find a way to have that conversation. Be bold. Be bold.
I think we have one more question. Last one.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Out of all the great blessings and pleasures that you've experienced in your travel, what's your greatest pain?
My greatest what?
Pain.
Greatest pain? There's been a lot of painful ones. When I was in Nepal, I saw a man that had leprosy, which is still a thing in the world. And he had no fingers, no feet, just a pair of shorts, sitting on an old blanket on the sidewalk. And this is in Kathmandu, Nepal. And I walked past him. I did not take a photograph of that. Maybe I should have, so I can help tell the story better. I thought, I don't want to picture that. Prayed with him, prayed for him. Didn't pray with him. He doesn't know my language. There's a language barrier. I thought, something I can do there. So I got home, and then I was convicted. I thought, no, there was something I could do. There is something I can do. I could have. There is. I know people here in Indiana that have finances, have money. I can reach out. I can raise some money. I can put some money together. And I can reach out to my contact in Kathmandu, and he could find this guy. I could give him some idea of where he was. He could find him. He could get connected with a hospital there in Kathmandu. There is treatment for leprosy. So I got myself back and realized there's an opportunity missed there that still haunts me today. You know, and there's been many times I walk past something that I don't do anything about it because I think I can. And then later I figure out, no, I probably could. Probably can. So that's a painful thing for me sometimes to know that I miss an opportunity. And it happens a lot. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Todd, thank you so much for taking your time. All right. Well, thanks for being here today. We're going to be here again next week. Start a new series, new lesson plan. So don't miss it. And bring a buddy. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, thanks.